You are listening to Koinonia Church, where we are igniting contagious faith in the one God who restores all.
Good morning, good morning. Boy, what a wonderful service this morning. Such a sweet sense of God's presence. And I have expectation that God is here to meet with us this morning. And if you haven't experienced that so far in the service, I just want to say, don't give up yet. He's here to meet with you. Would you, whether it's your first time this morning, whether you've been here 100 times or 1,000 times, would you just, in these next few minutes, would you just choose to sort of raise your expectation level that God is here to talk to you, that he's here to meet with you? We believe that Jesus is not just an idea. He wasn't just a nice man that lived on the earth and said some nice things, but he is actually present here today with us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And as we're gathered here this morning, we're gathered and he's doing things. He's healing us. He's doing some things that we can't do on our own. He's changing us from the inside out. He's forgiving us. He's speaking to us. And so wherever you're at this morning, whether you have that sense of expectation that, yeah, I want to receive today, or maybe you're like, I got duped into being here this morning. In these next few minutes, you just decide, God, if you're here, if you're real, would you talk to me? Would you do that with me? This morning, we're going to begin a new series. Or it's really just a theme during this Advent season, which is the Christmas season. Today, of course, is the first Sunday of the season, and we're calling this Emmanuel, God with us, and it comes from a passage both in Isaiah and Matthew, and actually some of the other Gospels that are quoted, and I want to read that with you this morning, just kind of characterize what we're going to be looking for in this next season, and then I hope to encourage you today in terms of growing your faith. So you can follow along on the screen if you want. If you want to turn in your Bibles, you can do that as well. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 1. As always, the Planning Center app, that's where we have notes, and you can follow along all the notes today and the verses and all the things that we're going to be looking at. The Planning Center app or the Church Center, I'm sorry, I called Planning Center, it's called the Church Center app, is the main way that you get to know about what's going on in the body of Koinonia in church life. And you'll notice this morning we didn't give a lot of announcements. We're moving away from announcements, as you know, because we feel like God's doing something in our services, and we feel like announcements are boring. But they're important. It's important to know what's going on. So Church Center is the way that you plug in. There's so many things happening, ways that you can plug into groups, ways that you can be involved in the life of the church. So make sure that you have that and are being aware of that. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, simply says this: "But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream," and this is Joseph, "and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus.'" Would you say Jesus? "Because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet: 'The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means God with us." Now, here in these three verses, we see two names that are given to Jesus. They're important names. Jesus, the name Jesus in the Hebrew means God saves. And then, of course, the name Emmanuel means God with us. And in these three verses, we see two very important names that tell us something about the season that we're in. Now, this is not just the Christmas season, of course. This is actually the age that we're living in since the coming of Jesus Christ and until his return. We now live in an age, in a season, that God not only saves, Jesus not only saves us, but he is a God that is with us. There's something very unique about our faith. Well, we don't serve a God that's just far away, that has maybe sent us a messenger, that has maybe sent us a couple of laws to follow. We've actually come to know that God has actually come down from heaven, come down to earth, taken on humanity, taken on flesh, become like us, moved into the neighborhood, and actually now is with us. And so we remember this season, we call it the Christmas season, and many times we're distracted by all of the things surrounding Christmas, the gifts and the parties and the activities and the busyness, but the reality is the whole thing is about the reminder that God has actually come. Jesus has come to be with us, that he's moved into the mess of our lives, that he's moved into the mess of our families and the brokenness of our situations, the mess of our finances, the mess of our, all of the details. Anybody got a mess in your family? Jesus has actually come in the middle of the mess, and he says, I'm here with you. The beautiful thing is he came to us when we weren't interested in him. Before we even asked him to arrive, he decided to come. The Father sent his Son to be with us. And so this season, what I want to do this morning is I want to encourage you not to miss the reality of the experience of Jesus actually being with us in the midst of all of the busyness of December. And because it very well can happen. And I don't know how you're feeling about the Christmas season. You know, sometimes some of you are so into the Christmas season, you make the rest of us sick. You know, some of you are very excited about it, in other words. Others, you're not so excited about Christmas, right? For some of us, Christmas is a difficult season. It's a season that's a reminder of maybe people that are supposed to be around the tree, but they're not. Or it's a painful season for a variety of reasons. Wherever you fall in the spectrum of what's going to happen over these next 30 or so days, I just want to encourage you this morning that you would not miss the fact that Jesus wants to be with you in the middle of all of it. In the middle of all the busyness, in the middle of all the gift giving, in the middle of all the parties, that you would not be distracted, but that you would actually see this as an opportunity to grow closer to him and see him show up in that. And so this morning I'm going to encourage you specifically in the area of faith in a God who is with us, but very often faith that doesn't feel like God is with us. I don't know where you fall in the spectrum of your faith this morning, if you're feeling really encouraged today or if you're feeling far away from God, but I think it's very possible for us to know intellectually that God is with us, Emmanuel, here he's come, but to not experience that. Experientially, we don't feel close to him. And so I want to talk about that tension this morning and encourage you and hopefully help you grow through this season so that at the end of December, you're actually coming out feeling not with a holiday hangover, but feeling actually excited about what God has done and what he's going to do in the future. Next week, I want to let you know that Pastor Charles Williams is going to be here, and he's going to be speaking. And some of you know Pastor Charles. Pastor Charles used to be on our staff years ago, and he's now in Killeen, Texas, but he's going to be here preaching. You don't want to miss it. If you don't know Pastor Charles, it is going to be a fun service next week, and it's going to be wonderful. So be in the house for sure. My wife and I this next week will be traveling to India along with our son and another member of the congregation. We're going to meet Jeff Acton, and we're going to go and see the work that we have been supporting as a church for the last 20 years. Pastor Chad just mentioned it in Reach India. And so we're going to go be seeing the churches and the tailoring schools and the houses for the widows and the orphanages. We're excited about that. So be praying for us as we're away. And then I'll be back and I'll teach. And then, of course, the following week on the 24th is our Christmas Eve services that are going to happen at our normal service times because Christmas Eve falls on a Sunday morning. And so we'll just do our normal service times at 9 and 11. We'll turn off the lights. We'll burn candles. We'll have a wonderful time. And so plan on that. Bring all your family and all the things that we normally do. All right. I want to talk to you this morning, as I said, about growing your faith in the midst of a season oftentimes that sometimes we struggle with the tension between experiencing the Jesus that's with us and really seeing with our eyes the brokenness that's around us in our families. There is a challenge that we have, I think, of moving from the place where we're at right now, wherever you're at in terms of the level of your faith, to where we need to be to actually see what God wants to do and experience what God wants to do in our lives. If you were to look at a definition of faith is simply this, if you look it up in a dictionary, it's complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Faith is complete trust or confidence in someone or something. The reality is that we operate in faith all the time, every day of our lives. One of the things that we have great faith in is gravity. I don't see very many people walking around concerned that they're going to suddenly float up off the ground, right? We're not worried about that. We have complete trust and confidence that gravity is going to work, don't we? The seats that you're sitting in this morning, how are those seats? Are they comfortable this morning? Most of us have complete confidence and trust that the seat that we're sitting in is trustworthy, that it's going to hold our weight for the rest of the service. It's going to hold us up as we fall asleep here in the next few minutes or whatever it might be. We have complete faith. We have complete trust. I heard a story some time ago of a man who had a couch in his basement, his favorite couch, his favorite piece of furniture in all of the house. He would go down there and he'd watch movies. They'd visit with the family. And he had complete trust in this couch. He'd throw himself on it, you know, and just enjoy. Everybody's got a couch or a chair like that in their house. Well, one year, a snake crawled into that couch and laid eggs, and he didn't know it. And one spring day, that man sat on his favorite couch, and out of the couch cushions came not one, but dozens of little snakes. There was a sudden change in his faith level in how much he trusted that couch after that time. Can you imagine coming down and sitting on that couch after that? It would be a little bit of an uncertain experience. What's going to come out of the couch today? Faith is a funny thing. Faith is something that we think we've got at times, we experience, we live in, but many times we find that our faith is shattered because of an experience. We sat on something and snakes came out. We expected it to be a little bit different. Our faith, spiritually speaking, is really important to our walk with Christ. We'll see this morning, I believe, that it's really by faith that everything happens in a Christian's life. And without an understanding of how to grow our faith, what we will often find is that our faith will shrivel up and die. It will shrink instead of growing. And as a pastor in this church, my desire and my hope this morning is that we would be a church of ever-increasing faith. That we would be a church and a people that understand that we are in a growth process. We have been invited into a relationship with the Lord. And there is, in fact, a way to grow your faith. That there is, in fact, a responsibility that we have to step into this thing of faith in Jesus Christ. And so today, I want you to know, first of all, that we all know this. It's possible for Jesus to be with us, but we still have little faith. I mean, the story of Jesus in the boat with his disciples comes to mind. I think I've got it on the screen, Matthew chapter 8. Here's one day, Jesus and his disciples get into the boat to go to the other side, as they were often did. Verse 23, then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Suddenly a furious storm came upon the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. It's always interesting. It always feels like Jesus is sleeping, right? I mean, in the moment in your life when crisis happens, we all tend to think Jesus is sleeping. Don't you see me, God? Aren't you aware? Were you not awake? Were you not present? We always go to doubt in those moments of crisis. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. Jesus replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. Here's the disciples. They're with Jesus. He's in the boat with them. This is God in the flesh. This is Emmanuel. This is God who saves, who's now in the neighborhood. Not even just in the neighborhood. He's in the boat with you, and they are sitting with him, and they're not even sure if he really is who he says he is. And they have such little faith in this moment that a few waves and some wind come up and they think we're going to drown. And it is so very possible, so very real, I think, for us. Isn't it for you? It certainly is for me, that I can know that Jesus is with me. I can know what the Word says. I can know that God exists, and yet my faith can be so small. And yet I could be so uncertain. Something happens in life. Things don't turn out the way that they're supposed to. There's a crisis. There's a medical thing. There's a financial thing. There's a twist that I didn't expect. And I go from having great faith in the Savior, the one who I've seen do so many things, to wondering, God, are you asleep? What's going on? Are you even around? Am I talking to anybody this morning? So often, that is our experience. And I don't know where you're at in your faith level today in the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You might be here this morning and you may not even be sure if God is real today. You might be struggling even just with the very basics of faith. You might be full of doubt about the future. Maybe you know you're not so sure if God really does have good things in store for you, because you look at the past and what you have seen and experienced is a series of painful and traumatic events, and you're going, can I even risk believing in God that he has good things in store for me? Because what if I'm disappointed? Your faith is a little struggling today. You're a little weak this morning. Maybe you're in the middle of a crisis situation. The winds have come up. The storm has arisen. And you're today, you're just challenged. You're full of confusion. You're wondering what the future looks like, and you're wondering if you can trust in God. I want you to know today that wherever you're at in your faith level, this thing of your faith is critical and it's important. And that God actually has an invitation for you, that today he wants to strengthen your faith. That today he actually wants to quicken you. I saw earlier as we were worshiping this morning, I just saw a picture of Jesus coming into the room, and there is a person, and they're kind of stooped over. I saw them as being weak and doubtful. They're maybe surrounded by things, and the Lord just came over, and he put his hand on their shoulder, and suddenly there was a quickening that happened. The faith began to rise. The person began to stand up, and suddenly there was confidence where just a moment before there was doubt and there was uncertainty. And I want to tell you this morning that wherever your level of faith is today, that Jesus is in the house to take you a little bit higher. That Jesus is in the house to raise your level of expectation, to raise your level of anticipation for the things that he's going to do. Faith, I think I have this on the screen, is the most important thing in your walk with Jesus. Faith is the most important thing in your walk with Jesus, because it is by faith for the believer that everything happens. It is through faith that we come to know Jesus to begin with. Now you may not think this is true, so I'm going to tell you why this is true. So if you're taking notes, you can write this down, you can fill in the blanks, or you can just listen, but don't go to sleep, okay? Why faith is important. Let me just give you three or four things of why faith is important. I'm going to give you a little teaching about faith and its importance, and I'm going to give you a little teaching about how to grow your faith. The first thing that why faith is important is because we are saved by faith. You and I receive salvation by faith. This is what Ephesians 2:8 says. It is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. The beautiful thing about this is what we're talking about right now is saving faith. Faith that results in your salvation is not dependent upon the quality of your faith. It is dependent on the quality of the person of Jesus. We don't have this morning faith in our faith. We have faith in Jesus, right? Because when we are faithless, the scripture says, he is faithful. I don't know about you, but there's so many times that I've been faithless. And every other day, I'm not really sure. I have doubts. I have uncertainties. I turn the other direction. I stumble. But God is a God who's faithful in the midst of all of our faithlessness, that even though we might turn away, he never turns away from us. He's such a faithful God that he comes and he stands and he waits for us, even when we're running in the other direction. Many times we tell him, I'm not ready for you, God, or I don't want you, and he patiently waits for us, because when we are faithless, he is faithful. Good news about salvation. When we're talking about salvation, we're talking about rescue. We're talking about an open door to heaven. We're talking about you get your ticket punched and you win the lottery. We're talking about the good news of Jesus Christ for eternity. The good news about salvation is it is that it is a gift of God that comes through his grace and is simply accessed by faith. What do I mean by faith? It's simply accessed by us reaching out and trusting that he is enough for us, that he actually can save us even though we cannot save ourselves. We do not have faith in our ability to get ourselves into heaven. I don't know about you, but I don't have faith in my internal goodness. I know myself too well. I think people that think they could earn their way into heaven simply have not honestly looked at the quality of their hearts. I don't know about you, but I don't think human beings are good people. I think we stink. I think we're rotten. I think we have a sin problem. I think we are selfish. Have you not looked at the world today and seen what is going on all around us? It is evident that when we are left to our own devices, we do nothing but pursue our own gains. We go after our own things, and we end up killing and stealing and destroying people around us. Jesus has come to save us from that scenario. He's come to save us from ourselves. This is the good news of our faith. And if you don't feel like you have a lot of faith today, that's okay. Because the one who has the faith is Jesus Christ. We're not trusting in how great our faith is. We're trusting in how great our God is and the work that he has done for us. So we are saved by faith. Secondly, we are justified by faith. Now, justified is a legal term, but it's important that you would know it as a follower of Christ, and I think sometimes we don't know it, and when we don't understand what that means, is we really don't have an understanding of the fullness of the greatness of what Jesus has done. This is what Galatians 3:11 says, "Clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God, because the righteous will live by faith." Now, what does it mean to be justified before God? Well, in a court of law, to be justified means to be made right according to the court. It's when you go before a court and charges are levied against you, and then all the charges, you're either acquitted or they're dropped, and suddenly you go from the position of one who has all of the charges against them to one who is in right standing with the court. No one can say anything against your character or anything else because there are, in fact, no more charges against you. So when I say that faith is what results in our justification, what I mean is that all of the charges that you and I deserve of our sin, all of the realities of how we have failed, we've gone after our own way, all the things that we have done in the past, all the lies, all the deceit, all the ways that we have pursued our own agendas, those result in the penalty of sin. There are, in fact, charges against us that, as the law actually says, no, you're a law breaker. Jesus comes in, and because of his sacrifice, he stands in and pays the price for what we deserve, for all of the charges that have been levied against us, all the things that the enemy can say against you, all the ways that you have failed and broken the laws of God. Jesus comes in, and by faith we say to him, "Lord, you're able to drop the charges against me. You have actually made it so that I am justified with Father God, so that I can come into his presence with confidence, that when I open my mouth in prayer, I don't have to be afraid because I know you have made me right with him. All the charges have been dropped. You have been acquitted. There is therefore," the scripture says, "no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." You can walk with your head up, not because you are good, but because he is good, because he has paid the price and for the penalty that you and I deserve of our sin. We are justified by faith. How do you get access to that? How do you get the charges dropped? You come to Jesus and say, "Jesus, it's you that saves me. Would you cover me? Would you make me right? Because I know I'm not right, but you are right every single time." We're saved by faith, we're justified by faith, and then thirdly, we live by faith. Everything that we do as a believer is to be through faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says this, "For we live by faith, not by sight." Sight is what we see, of course, with our natural eyes. It's the way that we often live in this natural world. We base our responses and our decisions and our activities based on what we see. But as Christians, we have a different kind of understanding of how we are to live. I don't make decisions in my life based on simply what I see with our physical, with my physical eyes, because I have access to the supernatural realm. I am actually a person that now has access to the very mind and heart of God. And so there is another way that I interpret the circumstances around me. When I see crisis, instead of a crisis that means it's over, I see an opportunity for God to show up and do what looks impossible in the natural, but is not impossible to him because he's a God of the impossible. When I see a limit, when I come to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords who does not have limits, I see a way forward that is beyond a human way. Why? Because God has made a way. He's the one that breaks the boundaries. He's one that opens the doors. He's the ones that makes things possible that were not possible before. Why? Because we are people of faith. We live by faith, not by sight. What I mean by that is that you have to believe that God is at work in order for you to walk the Christian walk. You have to believe that God not only has told us to forgive, but you have to believe that he's actually giving you the ability to forgive, and he's working a miracle inside of you and inside of that situation. That's why you forgive today. It's by faith that you forgive. It's by faith that you love when you don't feel like loving people. It's by faith that you're patient when the people around you don't deserve patience. It's by faith that you are kind. It's by faith that you give because you believe that God is a rewarder, that your gift and your reward does not come from man, it comes from him. You know, when it comes to giving sometimes, it's just like anything else when it comes to the life of the believer. When it comes to giving, sometimes I have given and I'm like, I don't even know if they're going to use the money for the thing that they told me they were going to use the money for. You ever feel like that? I mean, sometimes, I mean, you're in church. Hello. Everybody feels like that sometimes. Are they really using the money the way they should use the money? Well, we're a human organization. Last time I checked, we're going to make some errors, right? And we're not even trying to. But when I give, I've made the decision. I'm not giving based on the reward of man. I'm not giving because I think everything is always going to be done perfect. I'm giving because I have faith that God is the one that's actually going to take what I give and do something with it. He's ultimately the one that is the rewarder. He's the justifier. He's the one that works things out. And I have seen him take little and do much with it. It doesn't take very much for God to take it and multiply it. It doesn't take but a couple of loaves and fishes, and suddenly you see the multitude fed, right? So my little, I'm going to keep giving it. Why? Because it's not about the person. It's about the God that I serve. It's about the one who is the judge and the righteous king who's actually watching over all that we do. So we have to live by faith. Stop living by what you see with your natural eyes. Stop. If all you do is see with your natural eyes, then you'll just give up really quick. Parents, stop living with your natural eyes when it comes to your kids. Start believing and seeing that God has a plan, that he's the ultimate King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that he's the one that is actually overseeing their lives, that he's actually working in you and in them. He's moving things forward. So stop just believing what you see. Stop just listening with your natural ears, because sometimes when you listen to your naturals, boy, those things that they say to you, you go, oh, my God. By faith, we know that God is actually making all things new. By faith, we know that God is at work when we don't see him working. By faith, we trust that even though the circumstances and the situations look impossible, they're not, because we serve a God of the possible. Number four, this is probably a repeat, but I just like the way that it sounds. Faith is the currency of the kingdom of God. Faith is the currency of the kingdom of God. It's money on the barrel head. It's actually what pays the bills. It's how you get things done in the kingdom of God. You don't get things done in the kingdom of God just by doing things. You get things done in the kingdom of God by faith. That is, I trust that God is the one who is seeing. I trust that God is the one who's rewarding. I trust that God is the one who's going before me. I trust that he's the one that changes the circumstances and moves mountains of impossibility. I trust today that he's the one that heals bodies and saves people and heals minds. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. I don't know about you, but I need to operate in more faith. I need to walk in more faith and expectation that God is actually right here with me, that he's with us, that he's in the midst of your mess. He's in the midst of your family. He's in the midst of your money situation. He's in the midst of all of our lives. He's a God that doesn't leave. He's not far away. All right, so let me talk to you about the potential of your faith. Would you just say this to your neighbor? My faith has potential. Would you say it like you mean it? Say it to him again. My faith has potential. Your faith has potential. It's important. Through faith, you're saved, you're justified. It's by faith, everything that is done in the kingdom of God. Your faith is a limiting factor in seeing God's activity in your life. I think I have that on the screen. That one you should write down. Your faith is a limiting factor in seeing God's activity in your life. See, because if you don't have any faith, then you don't even ask God to do anything. Mark 6:5 simply says this is the time when Jesus actually goes back to Nazareth and he's visiting the place where he grew up. It says he could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. He could do no mighty work there because they had so little faith. Our faith will limit God's activity in our lives. Our faith will limit God's movement in our families. Our faith actually is something that can open the door to the hands of God, or it can close the door and keep him from working in our lives. The question is not, does God want to move in your life? The question is not, does God want to bless your family? The question is not, does God not have a great plan for you? He does. But if you don't have faith, then you don't actually reach out for it. Faith reaches out. Faith takes a step. Faith presses the boundaries. Faith dreams bigger. See, faith doesn't just put up with little small dreams. Oh, I guess this is just the way that it's going to be forever. This is my lot in life. No, faith says, God, you have a plan for me. God, you have good things in store. God, you're not finished with my family. God, you're not finished with this city. God, I know you're not giving up on this state. God, I know that you're not giving up on this world. You're actually moving things forward according to your will. See, because I have faith that you're a God who actually changes things. You renew things. Faith stands when everybody else runs away. Faith gives when everyone else hoards. Everybody's worried about the economy and the future. I don't serve the economy. I serve a God that is above the economy, that he's able to provide beyond what I need and even more. He's the God that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. So my faith is one that lives with open hands rather than closed hands. It's time for us to remember that faith is the open hands that receives what God wants to give us. And many times as believers, what we have done is we have lived a life and we have been disappointed. Some of us here this morning, I'll talk to some of you, you've been saved, you know the Lord for decades, and now your faith is actually smaller than what it used to be. You look back and you actually used to believe that God could do things. But now today, your faith has been beat up. You've had disappointments. You prayed for some things that didn't happen. You prayed for family members. Instead of living, they died. You prayed for breakthrough, and it didn't happen. And now you just have this little nugget of faith, and you're just barely holding on and hoping that maybe you get into heaven. Something's wrong with that. Something's wrong because what we have forgotten is that our faith is to grow, that we are to be people of ever-increasing faith. If your faith is dependent only on your experience, then you will have a small faith, and it will shrink from day to day to day. Why? Because we have We live in a world that is broken, and it's a full of disappointment, and there are going to be some times that we don't win the battle. And so if we walk according to what we see, we will find that our faith is actually getting smaller. But you and I are designed to be people who actually go from faith to faith, to have ever-increasing faith. So I want to talk to you, how do you do that? How do you grow your faith from mustard seed faith to mountain-moving faith? How do you keep yourself from a shrinking faith? Maybe you find yourself, you say, well, I used to believe that God could do more than I do today. Well, it's time for us to reverse that. It's time for us to go in the other direction. It's time for us to grow some faith. Before I give you how to grow your faith, let me just say this. Everybody gets some faith. Everybody gets some faith. That's what the scripture says, that everybody has a portion of faith. That's what it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 3. I'm not going to read it, but I want you to know, if you know Jesus Christ, you have at least a seed of faith that God has put inside of you. And I tell you what, all it takes is a little bit. All it takes is a little bit for God to do a whole lot with. All it takes is a little bit for God to move mountains. All that it takes is just a little bit. And if you don't have faith in Jesus Christ this morning, if you don't know him, today is a good day to meet the Lord. Today is a good day for you to come in and to reach out with your hands of faith and say, Jesus, would you save me? And you too will have that measure of faith. So God has distributed to each one of us a measure of faith, but I believe our responsibility is to actually grow that. How do you grow your faith? Well, very quickly, three things that we can do to grow our faith. Because if we don't do these things, what we'll find is that our faith will shrink and it will shrivel and it will die. Just like a seed that's put in the ground that might sprout up for a little while, if it's not tended to, if it doesn't get adequate moisture, if it doesn't get adequate care, if it doesn't get adequate sunlight, what happens? The seed dies, the plant dies. Your faith, too, is just like that. Your faith needs to be cared. It needs to be fed. It needs to be dealt with so that it actually grows into something beautiful and powerful. How do you do that? Number one, faith grows by obedience. Faith grows by obedience. Romans 1:17, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. So our faith is designed to be an ever-increasing, growing measure in our lives. How do we actually see our faith grow? Well, you actually have to do something. You actually have to be obedient to the Lord. James says, many times, if we only hear the word of God, but we don't actually do the word of God, it's like when we stand in front of a mirror and we ignore what we see. Now, that's stupid. All of us stand in front of the mirror, and typically we will spend time in front of the mirror until the mirror reflects at least better than what we initially saw when we were in the mirror, right? We look at the mirror, we say, oh, look, I didn't see that red dot before. Let me do something about that. We look in the mirror. We say, oh, I see some hairs that I need to deal with. We look in the mirror. Why? Because we know that there must be something that has to be done in order to arrange things so that the reflection actually is what we want to be seen by others. James says, in the same way, when you hear God's word, but you don't actually do anything about it, it's like you look at yourself, you see all the mess, you see the zits, you see the, I'm not going to be gross, I'm not going to be gross. You see all the stuff, and you just ignore it. He says, it's foolish. What you have to do is you actually have to do it. You have to be obedient to the word of God. And when you're being obedient to the word of God, it's now your faith, which is a mental understanding, begin to become faithful. And faithfulness is actually taking a step of obedience in response to the belief that you have that God is real. Now, maybe you don't know what you should do, what the Lord is asking you to do in terms of obedience. I'll tell you, the easiest thing for you to find out what God wants you to do is simply to ask him. Because if you know the Lord, that means you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. That means the very presence of Jesus is dwelling with you. And I have every confidence that he is actually talking to us about what he wants us to do in our lives, how he wants us to adjust ourselves. And the reality is that most of us know that, but we're just not willing to do it. We didn't like what he asked us to do. And so instead, we decided to do other things that felt easier or better, Or sometimes we felt like there might be more difficult to do, but God's asking us to do this small thing that we just didn't want to give up. Very often God's asking us to forgive someone. But I don't want to forgive them, Lord. Look at what they did to me. He's asking us to go to our spouse and to humble ourselves. He's asking us to take a step out and stretch into an area that maybe we're uncomfortable with. He's asking us to do something, and because we're unwilling to do it, I think often God just waits until we do it. Amen. We keep saying, well, God, tell me something else to do. He's like, no, I already told you what to do. You know? If you would just be obedient, then you will actually see the fruit. And you'll begin to say, oh, wow, God, you really are real. You really do answer things. You really do change my life. And we'll begin to see things transform inside of us, and our faith begins to grow. Instead, what we often do is we do what other people tell us. We do what we think Christians should do. We clean up the outside of the cup. Jesus says you wash the outside of the cup, but you don't actually deal with the inside of the cup. It's always easier to wash the outside of the cup. I'll dress a little bit different. I'll control my mouth a little bit different. But Jesus is actually always going after our heart. He's going after our attitudes. He's going after the internal things. And when we actually start saying yes to him and being obedient to him in those arenas, what you'll find is suddenly your faith begins to grow, because you're set free from things that you didn't even realize were dragging you down. So you discover, wow, I have experienced grace. I've experienced forgiveness. I've experienced breakthrough. And then you are able to tell your neighbor and tell your friend and tell your family what God has done inside of you, and because your faith has begun to grow. The first thing we have to do is, if we want to grow in our faith, is just say yes to the Lord. Just start being obedient to him. Just say yes to what he wants you to do in your relationships. Just say yes with what he wants to do with your internal life, with your thought life, and with what you're doing with your hands and your activities. Secondly, faith grows by hearing. Would you say faith grows by hearing? Faith grows by hearing. Romans 10:17, you're probably familiar with this. So faith comes from hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Christ. My question is this: what are you hearing? What are you listening to? Faith grows by hearing. That means that there has to be a diet that comes into our ears about the good news of Jesus. That means there has to be something that actually feeds our faith. The Word of God is something that feeds our faith. We begin to read it, we begin to eat it, we begin to speak it, and suddenly your faith level begins to arise. But we usually are filling our ears with things that are other than the good news of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but what you know, all of the podcasts, all of the media, all of the talking heads, all the social media that we're doing, many times what we're hearing is things that are just the opposite of faith. They're just the opposite of the good news. We get around people, and our favorite subject to talk about is how bad things are. It's our favorite subject to talk about how the state is going in the toilet, or the nations, you know, going, and we moan and we complain and we are just filled with all kinds of dissatisfaction. What do you think is the result of that? It's not faith. It's actually, if you continue to feed yourself all of that dissatisfaction, it's poison that begins to fill your soul. And suddenly that kernel of faith that God actually can work and change things begins to shrink, and it begins to die, because you have allowed yourself to be filled with doubt and allowed yourself to be filled with natural thinking. Human thinking is always lower than spiritual thinking. Human thinking is based on the human world, which is always going to go down. Divine thinking always goes up. Divine thinking realizes that God is the one that's in control. God does not have limits. God does not slow down. God is not breaking down. God's purposes are not going to not be accomplished. He's actually moving things forward. He's actually doing things. He adds power to the equation. He doesn't take power out. He's moving things up. He's not moving things down. He's increasing our lives, not decreasing our lives. He's actually building power into our beings, not removing them. So it's time for us to fill our ears, to fill our mouths, to fill our hearts with a hearing of the good news of Jesus Christ. Once you start feeding yourself those things, you'll find your faith begins to increase. Jude says, keep yourself in the love of God. Keep yourself in the love of God. How do you keep yourself in the love of God? Well, you got to feed yourself the right things. You keep feeding yourself, and you keep feeding yourself, you'll find your faith begins to grow. Number three, my time is up. Faith grows by speaking. Faith grows by speaking. Romans chapter 10. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart, go ahead, that's all right. It is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. It's time for us to line up our mouth with our faith. I see too many Christians walk around with closed mouths. My mom used to say, closed mouths don't get fed. There's the reality that your tongue, your mouth, has been given to you as a powerful creative force by God in heaven. James says, the power of life and death is in your tongue. And he says, many of you have invited the fires of hell into your life by using this power of the tongue to actually make an agreement with the enemy. And you've invited that demonic force right into your house. He says it shouldn't be that way. We're actually given the ability to speak blessing instead of cursing. And it's time for Christians to stop being silent and to begin to declare the glory of God. Now, I'm not talking about yelling and screaming and making a fool of ourselves. I'm not talking about getting into arguments with people and trying to shout them down. What I'm talking about is a mouth that declares with faith and agreement that God is going to do the things that he said he is going to do. And many times Christians are silent. We refuse to open our mouth in prayer. We refuse to open our mouth in declaration. And it's time for us to learn how to declare the blessing of God over our lives and over our families and over our community. There's a saying in the court, he who is silent is understood to consent. I don't want you to be silent. I don't want you to consent to the plan of the enemy for your family. He has a plan. He has a plan for your family of destruction and division. He has a plan for your family of strife. But there is a different plan that heaven has. And it's time for us to begin to declare with our mouths the plan of heaven over our families. That our family is actually going to be visited by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That our family, according to what the Lord says, that we are the head and not the tail. That his favor is actually over us. That he's moving things on our behalf. That he's opened the door of heaven for us. That in our house, there's going to be joy and there's going to be praise and there's going to be peace. We're not going to be content. We're declaring not just to heaven, but we're declaring to all the powers and principalities over this area. We are not going to go down. We are not going to give up. We actually know that there's a God in heaven, and we're inviting him into our lives. We're saying, God, let your will be done in this place. God, would you bring your peace in your life in this family? God, would you have your way in my life and in my family and in my marriage and my kids? Lord, I'm actually calling out to you because I have faith that you're a God who hears. You're not far away. You're not distracted. You're not interested in something else. You actually are concerned with me. You're concerned with my life. And so, God, I'm actually declaring today, this is a new day. This is a day of visitation. This is a day of blessing. This is a day of goodness. This is a day when your life is powerful, moving inside of us. As we begin to agree with what God has said, and I'm not talking about just saying whatever. That's stuff out of the scripture. I'm saying beginning to declare what we already know what God's will is. All those things that I said, that is God's will for you. It's God's will for your family. And as we begin to open our mouth and declare by faith, then we see suddenly something begins to happen. We see suddenly peace begins to show up. We see the supernatural begin to invade our reality, our homes. We see our kids begin to respond. See, there's something that God wants to do in your life. There is actually something that he wants to break through for you. There's new territory for you to take. There's new things that he has in store for you, but it's time for us to reach out and grab it. It's time for us by faith to agree with God to see the things that he wants to do be released in our lives. Would you just bow your head right now? I want to pray just very quickly for those that are here that you're struggling in your faith. Because we want to minister to you and pray for you as a congregation. Because I know this morning that some of us have been beat up. And you have experienced painful things. And today you came in walking with a limp. You came in doubting whether or not God really is going to do good things in your life. And I just want to pray for you today. We want to pray. Would you just stand to your feet right where you're at? And we're going to pray that Jesus is actually going to come. And he's going to touch us. And he's going to strengthen us. And he's going to quicken us. And he's going to do something deep inside of us. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Let's just begin to pray now. Reach out. Everyone that's standing up as well as those that are sitting, we're just reaching out right now for the hand of God. Jesus, would you just now come and would you walk in our midst? And would you begin to touch and strengthen every brother and every sister, every man and every woman that has stood to their feet? We thank you, God, that in the midst of the valley of the shadow of death, you are present. You're with us. We're not going to fear evil. We're not going to give up. We're the head and we're not the tail. So, Lord, I just pray right now that faith would arise in the name of Jesus, that there would be a quick that would begin to happen. Lord, for all of those painful places, for all those broken areas, for all those places, Lord, where we have reached out and we felt like our hand got slapped and we don't understand, I just deliver in the name of Jesus healing and restoration, the balm of Gilead that's in the house this morning, an anointing that's present to quicken our mortal bodies, to raise once again a level of expectation. I declare today there's new dreams. I declare today there's new faith. I declare today that there's a spirit that's not going to give up in these men and these women, that they're reaching out once again for the things that you have for them. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we just declare today a new day, a new of faith, a day of faith, a day of expectation, a day of breakthrough. God, I thank you that you're not finished. I thank you that the end is going to be greater than the beginning, that there are greater things to come, that they're moving forward. They're not going down, but they're going up in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we declare that. Would you all stand to your feet clearly? I'm over time. I apologize. I pray that your faith has been strengthened today. I'm going to invite the prayer teams to come up. Today there's a sense in the house that God is here. And if you have not met with the Lord, if you don't know the Lord, I'm just going to invite you, as I close the service, just to come down. And these men and women will pray for you. Maybe you need a prayer for healing in your physical body. Maybe you need a prayer for breakthrough. This is the time to take advantage of this time of prayer. Let me just bless you, Lord Jesus. I thank you for your people. I thank you for the Spirit of God that's here in this place and over these people. I thank you for Koinonia. There are people that are set apart for your purposes and for your glory. And now, God, I just declare that you would, in fact, make them the head and not the tail. Lord, that you would meet them even as they go out into their homes and their workplaces and their schools. Lord, that you would fill them with your presence, that you'd give them an anointing for breakthrough. I pray, God, that they'd be people of faith, people of difference, people, Lord, that have an expectation that you are going before them. I declare today that there would be fresh life for every home, that in every household, your presence would be there powerfully in the name of Jesus. I pray that in this season, Lord, that you would show up in unexpected ways. Let us go from faith to faith. Would you let faith arise inside of us? We pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. You can join us in person on Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. or online at the same times, including Saturday and Sunday at 6 p.m. Visit our website at kchanford.com. Koinonia Church, where we are igniting contagious faith in the one God who restores all.